So we spent a lot of time with Brysa, and the guy who sold the grain, he turns it into a flour, makes it bread, and turns it into a masala. And we spoke about Sukkot Mokar, so we spoke about the issue of Gezeil, and Hinshik Hotzei Avera, and we spoke about the issue of Lachem, and from Tachal, and Mat, etc. That was the third totally distinct part of the Sikh, which does what Rosa Hattenshi do. And that's the Lashon of Brysa. And Brysa is describing the fear of Chal. In fact, it happens to be stolen property is really irrelevant. The Gemara, the Brysa is discussing the different stages that go into making their fear Chala. So the Brysa says that Tachana ve'afa'a differs from that Chala. You grind it up, and then you bake it, and then at that point you makish Chala. So the place is already sensitive to the fact that afa'a fear seems really to be unnecessary statement of Brysa. Because usually when we learn about challah, so we mentioned this yesterday, but the gilgul is what's converted. We took that. The person converts in the middle of creating the bread, right? The Mishnah says that salishas, the gilgul that's mechayim, said that if a guy has flour and water, and he mixes it together, calls mother he's a guy, so then he converts the apples before he baked it. So he's talking about challah, because salishas is mechayim of challah. So comes, Tosfos says, salishas, the critical moment. So it's very strange, salishas out of the picture, that I mentioned it myself. And the Brysa talks about afia. Afia is much 20 hours later. Who cares about afia until it's going to Sala? So Taisa says, "Tachna le'afol, afi nafa be'afol." The bishayish devarim she'emis chayim b'chalal le'afar afia. So Taisa says, "Don't think that leisha is everything, but there are some things that, in fact, afia does play a role in." We might go to a parak kolshah. So gadim habushana va'iskei rikin. So these three famous things, which it's hard enough to pronounce them, it's hard to understand what exactly they are. We try to get some kind of easy as we go along. So the Brysa says that Asan be'ofus chayavin b'cham ha'pturim. So the Brysa seems to say, and we'll talk again in a few days in a moment, that the process that's used to bake, the actual baking process, is critical in terms of our kashrus. That's what Brysa says. So we have to understand what in the world, what exactly is going on? What is it? What's the chayav and chalas? The ishes and afia? What exactly is happening? So the confusion of whether chiva versus chalas sets in is really goes back to the chumash itself. Because what the chumash seems to be talking about two different things. There are only three psukim. How come people call without a versus chalas? We don't know what pasuk is now. Now we know the pasuk shlach, right? So the Torah says the hayah ba'acholchem ilechem ha'aretz tarim chum alashem. So the Torah introduces the pasuk chalas with the word lechem. So lechem is a very specific connotation in Allah. Lechem is usually synonymous with baking an oven. How do I know that? It's pasuk chumash. The ofu lechem lechem etanu. The pasuk says the pasuk from Kosai. So afia and ovens usually go hand in hand. Usually, 9 tenths of the time, when you talk about cooking on a stovetop, that's usually bishul. So we spoke about this in pasuk chol, right? Beginning in Abdal. So the Torah introduces the Pasha Chal by speaking about a Lashon Afiyah, so that seems to cause it to something to do with it. How we're involved, yet the Torah continues, the very next pasuk, Reishis Arisa Seichem, Chalot Terim Mitruma. You take off Chal from Arisa Seichem, which step with the Lashon Isa, Arisa Isa Seichem. So Isa means the dough. So the dough is the kind of matzah bakery with the rolling pins. Nothing, it's nowhere near us, it's miles away from the oven. It sounds like that's the Chayim Chal. What is it? The Lashon Chayim Chal, they need Lashem. But you need Isa, or do you need both, or do you need either? Do you need either? What is going on exactly? What does the Torah mean in terms of a Chibur versus Chalas? So it's out with someone like that. So it comes to Gemara Masechet Pesachim and introduces to us the following challenge. Gemara seems to be working with the assumption that Afia is critical in terms of being Chayav and Chala. You require a kavur, it has to be a real bona fide oven in terms of being Chayav and Chala. To such an extent that the Gemara says, let's say you take a dough and you bake it in the sun. So it's ma'isa chala, bishul chala. So if anybody's saying that cooking, that baking something in the sun is considered to be the equivalent of a tamar, it has to be that. So that's the assumption of the entire sikkim of the Ramadan, because that anything, you take a dough and you make it in the sun, so pashas there's no chiyah chala. So comes the gemara then and has a machlokes, not like a samurai, which means the machlokes at tanoim. Assuming that Allah requires a fee, and assuming a fee and tamar are synonymous with one another, how exactly do you define a tamar? What is the distinguishing feature of a tamar? So comes Reish Lakish and says as follows: there's something fundamentally different between baking bread in a tamar and cooking food in a pot on the stove. What's the distinguishing feature? So what does Reish Lakish say? I want to figure out also here. There's one factor. What's Reish Lakish? Huh? Focus is the illustration of the Machlokes. Rish Lakish is the longest. Rish Lakish looked at baking bread and said, there's something interesting about baking bread.
Is it a tanner?
Yeah, what distinguishes a tanner from the stove?
Is it closed?
So one could have said that's where it's closed, but Rish Lakish doesn't say that. Comes Rish Lakish and says that a tanner, you always.
Like, is it mixes everything together?
You heat up the tanner first. Because you don't put raw dough into a cold tanner and then put the fire in. First you make the oven hot. First you heat it up. And then, once the tanner is hot, then you put the dough in. That's the normal way of afia, according to Rish Lakish's analysis. Looking at, and this is Rish Lakish, the sister of his wife. So he looked at the way she was baking. He said, yeah, that's basically what afia is all about. Especially in came Bishol. Bishol, so you take the food and you put it into a pot, and then you put the cold pot with the cold food on the fire and it heats up. So the pot is the utensil that where the food is sitting in, and the oven is the utensil that the dough is sitting in. The difference between Bishol and Afia, according to Rish Lakish, is that in the case of Afia, the utensil is heated up first, the oven was heating up first, whereas in the case of the cooking food on the fire, that wasn't done. So comes Rish Lakish and says, why is this so critical? So what's the halacha if you take a dough and you put it into a frying pan and you put that frying pan on the fire? That's what the Gemara calls nice and ufus. So is that considered to be a fear or is that considered to be bishul? So comes Rish Lakish and says, it depends. What does it depend on? One simple factor. It was whether you heated up the frying pan before you put the dough on, or whether you put the dough on a cold frying pan and then put the frying pan with the dough on the fire. That's the only factor, according to Rish Lakish. That's what the Gemara calls Hirsiya Humasov Hidvik, in contrast to Hidvik Ula Sapar Siyah. Do you understand?
Yeah,
they want to know who's doing it. But that's what we're doing. 3-101. So comes Rish Lakish and says, if you were Hirsiya Humasov Hidvik, that means you put the cold frying pan, you put it on the fire, empty cold frying pan, you put it on the fire, it gets good, blazing hot. And now you come, you take a dough, you put it into the frying pan, and now it continues to sit on the fire, and it continues to bake, to fry, whatever you want to call it. So comes Rish Lakish and says, you did, in effect, halach equivalent to baking. True, it wasn't enclosed like a Jonathan said, but you see the Rish Lakish held it enclosed, it's totally irrelevant. That's not the fact. The fact, the only thing that matters is, was it similar to a pot, or the fact it was heated up first? That's Rish Lakish's understanding. But what if you took a cold dough, put it into a cold frying pan, put it under the fire now? So that's bishul. It's not a fear. It's not doing it in the tanner. That's considered to be bishul. So what are the ramifications of whether something is bishul, whether something is a fear? So the statement of Rish Lakish was that maisa ilfus is potter mechala. Why? Because Rish Lakish says the type of maisa ilfus, which is hidden from a sofrasiya, which is not doing it in the tanner, is doing it in bishul. So bishul can't be mechayev. In bishul can't be mechayev mechala. In order to be mechayev mechala, you need a fear. Why is that? Because presumably you need a din lechem, and lechem and a fear, tanner, all go hand in hand. This is all Rish Lakish Shita.
Wait, so Rish Lakish says that all afia is done this way?
Rish Lakish says that the determining factor when something's called afia is whenever you bake bread in an oven, you would always eat up the other person.
Right, so does he say that all ilpas, all...
So sometimes ilpas is chai, sometimes ilpas is potter. Normal ilpas is not to heat up the frying pan first.
So that's what I'm saying.
So therefore, Rish Lakish was able to make the statement, my ilpas was sort of right. Mechala. But he didn't mean it's totally, completely potter every single time. The fact that the frying pan is what creates the potter, according to Rish Lakish, is the fact that the heating was done after the food was already in contact with the kli that's being used to prepare. Well, that's what sounds like. But the Gemara is talking about afia being a critical factor. So that's exactly what we're trying to figure out. So this is Rish Lakish.
Is he talking about cooking my stove in the water or no?
Yeah.
There's no water, just the frying pan, just the dough, putting on dough.
Not frying pan. Bishul.
Bishul.
He said bishul, you don't heat it up for
that. Bishul is water.
So don't heat up the water as well, and then put the stuff in the water if you want to be cooked. That's how we make an error.
Okay. Sometimes you could put something called water also put on the back.
That would be a fear. So you heat up the water.
No, it could be that by definition when there's water here, that by default is not considered to be a fear. We're talking about even when there's no water. Even when there's no water, Rish Lakish says that just the fact that there's no water, that in itself is not declared to be a fear. Okay, you still need your seal of self-fear. So it comes with the other side, like, it comes with the other side, no, there's the story of siyach, some hidden kidlets of a siyach, that's not critical, that's not the defining feature of a fear. You had a pinpoint, what constitutes a fear, what constitutes a visual. So Rish Lakish picked up on a very minute detail, which Rabbi Yochanan says is totally irrelevant. What is the determining factor? So Rabbi Yochanan is very simple. Like Nehemiah said, is there a liquid? Is there no liquid? No, Gakat Abdal and Sanhedrin. If there's a liquid, then it's called Bishul. There's no liquid, then it's called Afios, Salim, whatever the case is. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, myself was. Is chayav, no question about it. My self was is chayav and chala, even if it's hidbik of a sofer siyachim.
Should I stop
just
being carried out on Shabbos? Because now you're going to say that the guy fries instead of the whole time I'm saying is that what you're trying to figure out what the dinner frying. So if you compare it to.
But we're not even talking about frying it. There's no oil on the surface. We don't know there's any oil on the surface. We don't know there's any oil, so there's oil in the office, and the Yisham says they just told you this. We spoke about Tavdala. We're talking about taking the dough, putting it to the front of it, and just sticking it on the fire. Is that Chayav
Chala? Isn't that Rabbi Yochanan makes the distinction
that's
between.
Not like it's Rabbi Yochanan Shlomish.
Right, Rabbi Yochanan says based on whether there's liquid or not.
That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't, in the Gemara Bavli, the Bavli doesn't say anything, is there any oil at all in the pan? The Gemara doesn't even discuss that issue. The Gemara just calls it myself. The Yerushalmi qualifies Rabbi Yochanan says that even if Yerushalmi agrees that there's oil in the pan, so that's considered to be Mishnah. Okay? Fine. So, again, so the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlomish is a very, very detailed Shlomish. The Lomish Machlokes is in terms of what is the determining factor that distinguishes between Bishul in contrast to Afia, Lech in contrast to Pashul, either according to Shlomish, whether the Pah was hot first, nice rhyme, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, is it with Mashke or without Mashke. So you walk away from this sugya with one conclusion. When you're passing with Yochanan, passing with Yochanan, it's going to become important, but right now it's not important. You walk away from this sugya with one basic conclusion. What is that? That Afia is critical in terms of the Mikash Yidil Chal. Because the Rambam is not just this is Afia, not Afia, but it's clear that everybody agrees that something with Afia is necessary. And again, it shouldn't surprise us because you have two other terms that say Lechem. So Lechem and Afia time, that's all one of the same. So comes Rabbi Natan and takes a look at this Gemara and says, no, this is not really what the Gemara is saying. The way I just presented the Gemara, says Rabbi Natan, you have to add a little bit of a catch. Why? Comes Rabbi Natan and introduces to us two different concepts. One is what's called the Blue LaRapa, and one is what's called the Blue LaOva. So we know these terms a little bit from the Shabbos. Blue LaRapa means a batter. It's basically something that's portable. Pancake is batter. Something like a sponge cake bath, something like it's flour and water, but it's so much liquid, you just pour it. Then there's an isa. Isa means like a clump of dough. Let's say you're baking a challah, you're baking matzah, you're baking your cookies. So that's a blue la'ov. There are two different things in halacha. So it comes to Ben Tam, he says that the Torah tells us that you have to be mafish challah, what the Slush Shalom Pitzaman used to say, mafish challah min
ha'isa.
So Isa in Halacha is usually synonymous with the blue la'ov. In the Lashon of Shabbos, we have this. One of the loves is Lash. So the Rishonim point out, based on the Sikh, the Sikh of Shabbos tells us basically the only time you're in violation of the Isa there, Isa, is only if you make a blue la'ov. You make things that are too sticky, where it really sticks together. You take a flour and water, you make it into a real mush together, that's considered to be Lash or Isa. If you take a powder and water or something and make it very liquidy and battery, you mix it with something, so that's only considered to be a shalat lisha de rabbanan. The report is la'alacha, the important difference is la'alacha. Say the most common shalat, you want to make baby cereal on Shabbos. So you want to take a little bit of the rice powder, not the little babies, you know, the little brothers and sisters,
Just brothers.
So you take a little bit of baby cereal powder and mix it with water. And you can either make a little oven with a raka. If you make a lot of powder, it's a little raka. If a little oven, you add more water, it becomes a little raka. So to do that on Shabbos, either way is a potential problem. Making a little oven is a much more serious problem. Making a little raka is still a big problem with the rabbanan. So there may not be ways to circumvent that problem on Shabbos. But in terms of the definition of lisha and isa, which are also synonymous, so there is a distinction a lot between a little oven and a raka. Come to Ben Tam and says, "Vamer devar mamurin." That the Gemara is chakring on Afia, that without Afia, so there's no Chiyuv Chala. Says Rabbi Talmud Rabbi Nisimish. That's talking about if it's a blue laraka, if it's a liquidy, pancakey, sponge cake, pancakey type of a mixture. So what's going to be the Chayav Chala on this thing? So Lisha, it's not Lisha, it's a mix. So if Lisha can't be the Chayav Chala, says Rebbeinu Tam, something else could be mechayev chal. What's that something else? Afia. So whenever you have to use afia to be mechayev chala, you have to make sure you have a real bone from afia. So what is afia? So now it's a call. The Gemara says, if it's mechama, that's for sure not afia. If it's ma'ase ilfa, so that according to Rashi Lach, it's not afia, unless it's a hirsiach or some hidvin. According to Rashi Rabbi Yochanan, it's a ma'ase ilfa, it's considered to be afia. But according to Rebbeinu Tam, this whole emphasis in the Gemara on afia is only predicated on the fact that we're dealing with a blue lara. Says Rebbeinu Tam, what would it be if you have a blue lara, you have a thick dough, you have a matzah dough, a cookie dough, a challah, bread dough, which is a blue lara, says Rebbeinu Tam, I don't care what you do to this dough, that dough is chayav chal. You know why? Because the chiyuv chal was chal, or from the time was chal when? Was chal b'shas isa. So my nafkamina, what's going to happen in 20 minutes from now? Whether you're going to bake it in the oven, you're going to bake it in the frying pan, you're going to throw it into bake it in the sun. There's a bit of time. That which the Gemara says is that the parsha of ma'aseh chal, potter from chala. If it was a blue la'rafa, but if it was a blue la'ava, then even my secham is chayav, the kal v'chomer, the frying is chayav, the kal even bishul is chayav, everything is chayav, because there's an independent chiyuv called blue la'ava. So the topic that whole Gemara Sefer, which talks for an entire plot about fiyah, but I've been attempted that's only half the story, that's only half the story, that's only half the blue la'ava, nothing to be concerned with. Right. Once it makes it easy, then it doesn't matter what you do with it. This is the famous shit that's within the time. This is within the time to come off the stage, such a mind boggling thing. If you look, the Gemara never says this. The Gemara has a sugya block long about a fiyah. How do the Gemara know that Isa is an independent Mechayev and Chala? So it comes within the time and says this is a Mishnah, the fairish Mishnah in Masech Eschal, the first part. Have you read the Mishnah?
Mm-hmm.
What does the Mishnah say? Can you figure out what the real Mishnah is talking about?
The one about the
Isa Shekhilasas, Isa Shekhilasas, Isa Shekhilasas, Isa.
In both of them, it says your
heart. Okay, so the Mishnah says three statements. The Mishnah says Isa Shekhilasas, Isa, the Sofa Sufkinin, Chayav Zbechala. Isa Shekhilasas, Sufkinin, the Sofa Isa, Chayav Zbechala. Isa Shekhilasas, Sufkinin, the Sofa Sufkinin, Peturim Zbechala. That's pretty clear, right? Good. Okay, no. How many sheets does we show you on how to read this Mishnah?
A lot.
Good answer, okay. Sure, that's my knowledge, at least three. At least three that we're going to deal with today. Did you figure it out for me? You didn't realize it's Machlokes for a time, the Rashi and Rabban?
Yeah,
Rashi.
One of
them
says that
okay. Where that resulted. Okay, we're going to try to make it a little clearer than that. So Kanja Ben Tam says, this mission is like this. The terms Isa and the terms Sufkinin. Have the following connotation. Isa is how you would describe a normal bread. Normal bread means blila ava with afia. That's the normal mahalach in terms of a grain of bread. You take a blila ava and you bake it in the oven. That's the halachic term isa. Now, what does the halachic term sufkin mean? What does sufkin mean? So it has the specific connotations of it in kind of two things. Number one, that it's very spongy. Why is it spongy? Because there was a blue little rock to begin with. It was never really a thick dough to start with. This is not corresponding. Agile dough is not like that. Don't do that up for now. Sufkan yolk that the Phoenicians spoke about, the sufkanin. Can you imagine what this bakery asking for sufkanin? That's like really one mission. Sufkan yolk. Sufkanin. It's not sufkanin. It's like the guy who went, there's a story, I don't know if it's a true story or not, or a apocryphal story, but a guy, the yeshiva guy who was the first day of Israel, went to the flock of Israel. And he asked the falcon, he asked the chida, the guy's putting a chida on the falcon, he's putting a lot on, so the shubach wanted to tell him enough, he didn't know how to say masvig, die. So he thinks, he says, sagi, right, sagi, okay, he says, sagi, that's the wrong one. I don't know what you're sorry about, but anyway. So the term sufkin in Sefer Ben Tam has a specific connotation. It has it conjures up the image of lula rapa, which is a bishul, or frying, which is for our purpose is also the like bishul. Leave it out for now. Okay. So Ben Tam said that's what the mission means. But he used the term chila isa, chila sufkin in self isa, self sufkin in. One is the bread mahalach of isa into the oven. The other is the sufkin mahalach lula rapa into the oil, into the pot to be cooked. So it comes to the time and says, now the mission makes a lot of sense. The mission is trying to tell you At what point does Chil Chal set in? It says the Mishnah, Isa Shechilasa Isa Nesofa Sufkin. What does that mean? What does Chilasa Isa mean? And when you started baking, you started preparing the dough, you prepared it as an Isa. What does that mean? What two words does that mean? Bulila. Bulila Ava. The word Isa always means Bulila Ava. The Sofa Sufkin. When it came to the end of the process, rather than baking that little ava, you fried it or you threw it into a pot of water or something. So you did the sufkinin process at the end is something which started out as the isa process. So you cross teams, you cross party lines. You chilas the isa itself as sufkinin. So what does the Mishnah say? What's the next line of the Mishnah? Isa shet chilas the sufkinin. That means you took a pancake dough, you took a sponge cake dough, the sofa isa, then rather than putting it into a pot of oil or water, you put it tight into the oven. So, I'm the Benatam and says, what did the Mishnah say? Also, I have a Chil. So, what's the Mishnah saying? Exactly what Benatam said, but there were two different tracks of creating a Chil Chal. You can create a Chil Chal either through the Lisha, through the Lila Ava, that's the first half of the Mishnah, and it doesn't matter what happens at the end. And then the second track, is Ayyadeh Afia proper. Even though it was glue the rocks at the beginning, even though it was something which was not in the ballpark potentially of challah, but if you took that pancake dough and threw it into the oven, that also creates a chiyah of challah. So according to Benatam, both of his chidushim, both of his tracks of challah is the Mishnah of Sefer Challah. What's the last statement of the Mishnah? Sofa sufkinim means you take a glue the rock and you throw it into a pot of oil or into water or something. So then you had neither of Gwila of us, you didn't have Lisha, and you didn't have a fear either. So what did you say? After the Tura, Michaela. So according to Benatam, our Taisus means perfectly. What does Taisus say over here? Our Taisus says that sometimes you find that the Bryce speaks about Lashon Afia, that Afia is critical. Why is this? Because there are some things she ain't the Chayav Michaela, they have Afia. There are some things that are not the Chayav Michaela at the moment of quote unquote Lisha. For example, Sufkinim, Dushan, and Iskimit, those are all examples of Gwila Rakhas according to Benatam. And that's what the Rice says, a song the Ilfas Chayav Bechav Tur. If you make it the Ilfas, according to the Yotron, who equates Ilfas with time war, and we count the Pasta like that, also the Mishan Pasta like with Yotron, some Pasta like Mishan, which most Pasta like Yotron. So if you take the blue little rock up and you put it into it, either into an Ilfas or into a real powder, then you're a Chayav. If you take a blue Ava, it doesn't matter what you do, even if you make it in the sun, you put it into a pot of water or a pot of oil, you're still going to be Chayav Echala. So according to Benatam, these are the two different halachas in terms of our Hafreshes Chal. Avash is Bach was Chayav Chal, and the Rach was Chayav Chal. Just to make it more realistic for us, I'll give you a good modern day example. What's a Gula Avash in his Bashla? What's a good example? Of a Gula Ava that was Bashla.
A bagel.
What? Bagel's not a good example. It's mentioned the baked post. Preplach is a good example. I want to give you a more nice and related to you more. So, do you know the Tzitzit Sofer of one time? Have you heard the Tzitzit Sofer of one time? Have you heard the Tzitzit Sofer of one time? It's the same type of scale. Sofer, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. No, it's Tzitzit?
Or no.
Do the Kulei Amon? Have you heard the Brothers on? Okay, it's the same. After Russia, the Russia quotes the Tzitzit, and then he adds on more. Okay, fine, after Russia. It's all the same thing. So I'll just read through the Tzitzit. The Tzitzit says that...
The Tzitzit? Which Tzitzit?
No, we didn't do the Russia. What was the Russia? So the Rosh quotes from Benatam, and then he says, Varmanish should cover the light rail. Anyone knows what they are?
No idea.
Benatam talks about the Varmanish, which some people used to call the light rail. So those things are Chayav Chal. Those are the examples of who will overshadow his doctrine. Okay?
That's modern day example.
So comes the cover in the saddle 2 days in a row and says, what is that? The Lush in Poland, we call it Lamed Aleph Kuf Shin Yud Nun. Lokshin. So everyone knows what Lokshin are? Noodles? Everyone knows what Lokshin is? Lokshin! So comes Rabbi Adam and says, Lokshin is tied in a Fashion Stop. Why? What is Lokshin? It's a blue of thick. What do you do with it? You throw it into a pot of soup. You roll it thin, whatever, you cut it into little strips, and you throw it into a pot of soup, and it cooks. It's bishul mamish. Since it was a lula ovet, fada, lula ovet, you make enough auction, you have 43 to 50 eggs worth of flour of auction, you're in the auction business, so that's the michai b'chal. That's what Benetam is an example of the lula ovet and the fashion. Who wants to give me an example of lula rakosh and ne'afon? What's the start for a lama? Kiddush. Lekach, lekach, what's lekach?
It's like a cake.
Sponge cake, honey cake, you know, honey cake, sponge cake. All these cakes, right? Normal cakes. Yeah. Most cakes that we have today, not cookies, not rugged ones, not even most normal cakes of lula raka, which you have, I see your mom's bake a cake. Yeah. Pour a batter, you put it in a little pan, you put it into the oven, it bakes. That's a lula raka, shouldn't you? Of course, in a town, that's also kind of common. If you would take this batter of a cake and put it out to the sun and wait for it to bake in the sun, okay, so that's how it would be tough. If you take the lula opa, I'm sorry, you take a lula raka and put it in a frying pan, pancake or something, so that would be Rabbi Yechon Mishlach, that would be the issue. But if you take it and you put it into an oven, so the Kul Yamas is Rabbi Natan, the Rakh Moshe Nefa, it's Chayav Mecham. This is the famous Shid Tzurim. Came along the Rash, Rabbi Nashim Shem, besides being quoted those all the time, also wrote his famous parish on Push to the Star, that is run from the Paris. We probably know we did, right? Yeah. We had the Rash, no? We had the Truma. Comes the Rash, and he here says as follows. The Benetam is not 100% correct. Says the Rash, there's a Gemara. He's going to Brach as the Flamid Dan of the Bays. He talks about what's called the Lach and the Osa the Kusach. What in the world is Lach and the Osa the Kusach? So Kusach. So the Gemara says, you the last night, Zachary? You came up, you the last night?
No, but I listened to
the Gemara. Oh, so you heard about the Kusach, so we mentioned the Kusach. So Kusach, the Gemara says, the Mishra Brach Sachim, was a type of a delicious dish, which the closest thing that we have to it is some kind of a
yogurt.
Something like yogurt. It was partially milk, the Gemara says, and it had some salt in it also, make it really good. Salted yogurt, can't taste anything better. And it had some stale bread in it also. That was a delicious, like the little bowlies on top. So instead of putting the chocolate and peanut butter bowlies, the kids they put stale bread into the yogurts. And they salted it to make it delicious. So that was like this, like the... Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was probably cool. Stale bread, salt, and cool. It's like those sour cream chips, the sour cream potato chips. That's what it sounds like. So, but he had a kusach. So, next time you're there, when it's nice, so we were talking about, the Gemara told the story about a piece of chicken when she fell into this kusach. So, the shadow was whether it became trachoma, because it was cold, so that it was salty. So, salty may or may not transfer things. But those are interesting. You can check it on the end. So, it was the Gemara says it was partially milk, partially bread, and partially salt. The significance of that is that it's milk and chametz. So the Gemara Pesachim talks about it from the chametz angle, because it's not chametz. The end is harobas chametz. That's how that's what the Gemara begins with. The Gemara Pesachim gives you the whole ingredients, the whole cookbook, and the recipe. So comes the Gemara Brachas and talks about it from the bread vantage point. The lachem also the kusach. If you're baking bread for the specific purpose of putting it into the kusach, so what's the status of the bread? Is the bread chayiv in a fresh chal, or is the bread not chayiv in a fresh chal? So Rashi says, what do you eat? Why not? Why not? Do you mean whether you eat bread as a sandwich, or you eat bread as part of the kuntan, inside the stale kusach? What's the difference? So Rashi says that the way they used to prepare the bread for the purposes of this kusach, they didn't bake the bread. I guess they added the novelty of it. They would take the dough and they would leave it out in the sun and it would bake in the sun. And they would take this half-baked, spoiled, rotten bread with the spoiled milk from the salt, and that was the novelty. That's a Rashi that learns Pshat the Gemara. So that's the Rishon Rosh. The Rashi is working with that same assumption also, that the bread that we were talking about was never really baked in the oven. It was baked in the sun. So the Gemara is all shadow. What's the deal of this bread? Lech Masik was the Chai Bechal and Achai Bechal. So the Gemara goes into very, very nitty-gritty details. The Gemara says, well, it depends. Does it really look like regular bread? Because they used to be two different styles of making. Sometimes they make it thick, sometimes thinner. So at the end of the day, the Gemara gives these very, very details in terms of what is Chai and what's not Chai. So the Rash says, what's going on in this sugya? Is it bread or not bread? So comes the Rash and says, Achorchoch, the Iker Mikra Din, this stuff is not Chai Bechal. If it was really Chayav and Challah, he wouldn't give such nitty-gritty details about how thin it is, how thick it is, who cares, pita bread is Chayav, matzah is also that. There's no difference in the thickness of what it comes out like. The only reason why the Gemara is making these svaras of Challah is like this, that midat fa'irah, there's really no Chayav Challah. But mid the Rabbanon, sometimes this lechem ha'asa ha'chusach starts to look like real bread. So if it really looks like real bread, there's a shimomar asai, it's different from the chom of asai, and yafi mafish challah. That's what the Gemara is telling. It depends how much it looks like bread. If it really looks like bread, then it is. If it doesn't look like bread, then it doesn't. But the whole chiyuv chal here is only hakol mikol kol b'drabon and marasani. But the ikum ikudin, the whole hunchin of the tzigit claims the Rosh is that lechem asa lekusav is really popular from a first chal. Why is lechem asa lekusav popular from a first chal? Because of the bacon, the sun, like Rashi said, it's b'chal, so it's popular. So comes the Rashi and says, "Wait a second, bacon, the sun. But what is it?" Lechem, that's the term the Gemara uses. Now, lechem always conjures up one image. Image of a b'lima ava. So says the Rash, we're dealing with a b'lima ava, which is being made in the sun. So according to Rabbi Yitam, it's the end of discussion. It's chayav v'chalam in Torah. If you're not mafresh chalam, it's chayav v'nisav, misav de shalam, in Tevel. According to the Rash, says the Rash, the Gemara is totally with the zechiv chalam of the Rabban and Marasai, and in the detail of the Karakin, says the Rash, what happened to the Chiyuv Chal there, I said, according to Rabbi Natan? So the answer is, the Sirvan Natan's wrong. That's what the Rash says. Sirvan Natan is absolutely wrong. So what is Pshat with the Gemara? So comes the Rash and says, Pshat is this. If you make a Lula Ava, and you have in mind, you're planning on never baking this Lula Ava, says the Rash, it never becomes Chayav Chal. There's no Chiyuv Chal whatsoever. If you're you made the blue ava al das either to bake it in the sun, which is halachically not baking, or to be mevashel, which is halachically not baking, or to fry it in oil, which opinion is not baking, or according to Rish Lachish, even to fry it in a regular frying pan is not considered baking. Anytime you made the dough, even though it was a blue ava b'shas b'nisha, it was done specifically al das to do some finishing touch that is not normal process of lechem. There is no chiyuv challah in that Torah whatsoever. That's the tour of lechem asa lekusach. So the words are asa lekusach. You make me it. You're in the kusach factory. You make me it specifically for the purposes of making the kusach.
You make dough with the purpose of giving it away to other
people. Wait, hold on. Let's take simple case. Okay? So far, so good says the Rash. However, says the Rash, what would be the deal like this? Let's say you make a dough with lila ava. You have in mind you're going to bake. You plan on making it, and then you change your mind. Then you realize, you know what, I don't really need any bread today, I need some kusa bread, so I'm going to change my mind, I'm going to bake it in the sun. Or, you know what, I don't want bread anymore, I'd like some jelly donuts, I'm going to throw it into a pot of oil, I'm not going to pot of water. So comes the Rash and says, under those circumstances, then there is a chiyuv challah. So the Rash is close to Rabbeinu Tam. He's close to Rabbeinu Tam that you can create a chiyuv challah with li shalom. Li la'ava can create a chiyuv challah, but whereas Rabbi Tam says it creates a chiyuv challah independently, regardless of what you plan on doing regarding what actually happens, the Rash says no, that it doesn't happen all by itself. Li la'ava doesn't create a chiyuv just all alone, but li la'ava al das, the ofa, creates a chiyuv even right now, you're going to be subsequently changing your mind. And that pasht is a dimin akodah according to the Rash. So where did the Rash get this idea, kavana, that whatever your kavan is asking the captain to change the chiyuv chal in a Torah, very, very strange. So where did the Rash get it from? You tell me.
Which one did he say? He said
if you do a blila ava al das to be mevashel, so then you then it's popular.
Even if you change your mind?
No. If you eventually ofit, then it's chayav. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I'm saying, but if you take a blila ava al das, I make it an ava bit chiva al das to be mevashel, so then it's popular. If I take a blila ava and I do it al das to be ofit, and then I change your mind, I end up with mishul. So tas is the same thing. It's the same noodles. Says the Rash, sometimes noodles are chayav and chal, sometimes they're not chayav and chal. If I made the dough with chiva because I'm in the noodle factory, and then I make noodles out of it and I pot them with chal. If I had in mind to make bread and I changed my mind to make noodles, and they're the same noodles. Physically, chemically, the same exact bowl of noodles. Doesn't matter, says the Rash, one bowl is chayav and chal in the Torah, and one bowl is pot and chal. That's the shita of the Rash. Where did the Rash come off the situation? What forced the Rash to say that if you have kavod l'shem afia, so then no matter what happens later, it's still going to be good. It's still going to be chayav.
The Mishnah Chal.
The Mishnah Chal. The Rash of Pshat Mishnah Chal. Totally different from Rabbeinu Tam. Remember, Rabbeinu Tam says isa shel chilas isa v'sof pasuf kedid. What did that mean? Chilas isa v'sof pasuf kedid means according to Rabbeinu Tam, you made it a little abba, even though you hadn't wanted to cook it eventually, no change your plans, and you cooked it eventually, it's still chayav b'chalav. Comes the Rashi says, no. Isa shechivas isa means that you prepared it with chila as a b'lila abba, al das to do an isa. The word chivasa doesn't just mean physically what you did. Chivasa means your additional intention. You planned on doing an isa, and then what happened? The sofa. Sufkin in, and then you change your mind and you cook it in oil and water in the sun, or as Mishnah say, Chayyavis Bechala. That's the difference. Only if you had Kavanah, because the Rosh was forced to learn this Pshat because he was so bothered with the Gemara about Lechem HaOsek HaKusar. So the Rosh had a different Pshat, the Isa Shet Chilasa Isa Vesof HaSufkin. What about the end of the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says, Isa Shet Chilasa Sufkin in, Vesof HaIsa, what does that mean? That means you made it as a blila raka, and if in the end of the day you ended up baking it, what's that lacha? It's also chayav b'chalav, right? So the second half of the Mishnah, there's really no machlokes that Rashi wrote it down. According to the seventh half of the Mishnah, which is a blila raka shene'afa, both the Benatam and the Rashi agree to chayav b'chalav, right? So both the Benatam and the Rashi agree that sometimes a fiyah is critical in terms of creating a fiyah chala. In a blila raka. Blila raka, so everybody agrees you need an afiya in order to be chayav b'chalav. You take the blila raka and you put it into oil and water, then everybody agrees it's no chayav b'chalav. That's chidas ha-sufkin and sofa sufkin. So both the Benatam and the Rashi agree that at least vis-a-vis a blila raka, afiya is critical. The whole machlokes of the time of the Rashi was, considering a blila ova, which was never baked, which originally you weren't planning on saying, is that chayav b'chalav? According to Benatam, just the very act of doing a lisha of lula abas and b'chayav b'chalav, and what your intention is, according to the Rash, the only time lula abas and b'chayav b'chalav by itself without a fiyah, it's only if it was at least al das to be open. So Deim Rash, Deim Benatam, Tosus makes a lot of sense. Tosus just said, Tosus was talking about the second information. Tosus said that there are some things that you need a fiyah for. What are those things? With the rockers. So blue the rockers, you need a fetus. That's exactly what happened at the RSS. So what's the cash of that now?
Isa means a fetus?
Yeah. Isa, there's a means a fetus.
The lechem for the kusach is that that's b'li lasa or
raka? Oh, that's well, awesome. Sorry. What was the assumption of the Rash? The Rash's whole kasha was what? The Rash assumed one thing that is kasha. He got so excited about the gemara lechem lasa the kusach that he shloked him in the tam afa. What was his one assumption? The kusach is a b'li lasa. And if that fact is not true, then the whole Rash is pshat. So who denies that pshat? Who denies the rabbi tam? So what is going on? Where does it say that? That a lechem also kusach is blue also, because he uses the term lechem. Who said that? Marshal says in that place. You know what the Rash got so tense about? Lechem also kusach must mean the blue also, and therefore you throw the time out of the box. Not true. Love that. So Rabbi Mechlekes in the bit of time. So also good. So everyone understood that Rash in the time. You ready? You understood it?
Yeah.
You got it, right? You figured it out before? Okay, now you gotta figure it out? You figured it out. You're probably gonna figure it out. Good. Still one step further. Beautiful. Who saw the Ramban? Oh, we actually saw the Ramban. Ray Legan. Chumash, feels good. Okay. No, Ramban. What? Comes the Ramban. This Ramban can be found in Hilchos Chala. Where is Hilchos Chala in the Ramban?
Bechoros.
That's it. Bechoros, of course. So in the back, who surrounds the Hilchos Bechoros in Hilchos Chala?
Marit Agazi.
Marit Agazi. Very good. How many people bought this from 10 years ago?
Five.
Very good. How many people bought the next year?
Zero.
Good. Okay. It's been in the shiur for a while. Those who don't know Marit Agazi very, very quick, was a parish on the side of Bechor. It's running parish on everything you ever want to know about Bechor, and then some. Her shach is to say, you can't learn Bechor, you have Marit Agazi. So listen to her shach, so what the boys in that thing about. So it was printed about that day. So I spent the year, I was on Bechor, so I was reading through, I can't say I read every single word in Marit Agazi, I read a lot of them. It was very, very hard just to see the words. And then as soon as I finished, so about a week later, they came out, Chodesh Lion came out with a brand new, fancy Marit Agazi with footnotes, with block prints and everything. So I figured, yes, the fish of the second, they might as well buy it. So I bought it. And that year I was buying Svarim from BMP, so I think I bought one from BMP also, and I was buying Svarim from Marshall Coral, so I bought one from them also. So I bought up five Marat Gaz, there's nothing I wanted to buy. The Svarim sell went nuts. They thought that, wow, this is a hot seller. So next year they ordered like 25 Marat Gaz, and none of them sold. Anyway, so if you want to order good from Marat Gaz, together with Rachel's car. Yeah, so comes the Ramban in Hilchos Chalish, in the Masechet Bechorot, there's a sugya, a couple of blad about Hilchos Chalish appear in the Masechet Bechorot, and the Ramban of all Hilchos Chalish says it first. So comes Ramban and says, Mechilas Kovet, everybody before him, both of in the time of the Rash, everybody made one unbelievable basic fundamental mistake. And that was reading the Mishnah. They all read the Mishnah incorrectly. Why is that? So you have to read the Mishnah, which it all starts from. You don't really have to read the Marat Gaz in this one, huh? That was the Mishnah. It says as follows. Isa shet chilas ha-sufkin v'sof ha-sufkin ha-petur v'nechala. Chilas isa v'sof ha-sufkin, chilas sufkin v'sof ha-isa v'yaz v'chala. So there's one part in this Mishnah that totally defeats the purpose. I'll read it again. Isa shet chilas ha-sufkin v'sof ha-sufkin.
Sufkin? The first
sufkin.
What's the first word of Mishnah? Isa. Mishnah says, Isa shet chilas ha-sufkin. That's really a steam in the event. Isa shet chilas ha-sufkin. What does it mean? What do words mean? But the Mishnah should say is Tchilasa Sufkinin Vesof Vesofkinin Petuga Tchilasa Isa Vesof Vesofkinin Tchilasa Isa Vesof Vesofkinin. The word Isa, the opening word Isa, doesn't make any sense. Right? If you're talking about Sufkinin, so Sufkinin and Isa are opposites of one another. Why does the Mishnah open up by talking about the word Isa? Isn't that Mishnah Balyu? We're not lying to Mishnah Balyu? It's okay, didn't bother with the name of the Rashi either. So comes Ramban and says that word is the key to understand this entire Mishnah, and it's the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashi are both totally wrong. Says the Ramban, Isa is like the introduction to the Mishnah. It means there's nothing to talk about unless there's an Isa present. If it's not an Isa, forget it. It doesn't belong in Masechet Chala. It belongs in the ancient mind of painting. So it's not Masechet Chala. Masechet Chala means Isa. What does Isa translate to mean? So says the Ramban, if there's not a Bliwa Ava, not even a Hav Mishnah Hav you can do whatever you want to a Bliwa Raka, and it will never be Chayav Kala. That's what the first word of the Mishnah is. So what is the Hemshah Mishnah? Says the Ramban, you take a Bliwa Ava, right? Isa, you take a Bliwa Ava, and what do you do with it? You do Chilasa. That means you plan on treating it like sufkin. That means you're creating the Isa al das to do sufkin into it. What does it mean? It means you're planning on cooking it or frying it, right? This sofa sufkin, and that's exactly what you end up doing, right? What does Mishnah say? Tur. Okay. What if it's chilasa Isa the sofa sufkin? What does that mean? Means you take the blue ava, and you're planning initially on baking it, and in the end you tap a don't bake it. In the end you make it into sufkinin. So what does the Mishnah say? Right? Now what if it's chilasa sufkinin? Means you made a blue ava, and you thought originally you were going to fry it or cook it, and in the end you ended up baking it. What's that then? Also chayim. So it comes around back and says, that which both Rabbi Natan and the Rash learned, that if you take a blila raka and you bake it in the oven, you chayv and chala, right? Because according to both Rabbi Natan and the Rash, that was the meaning of chilasa sufkin in the sofa isa, right? That's what the words mean. Blila raka shen me'afa. Says in Ramban, that is not correct. Blila raka shen me'afa is p'turim in a chala. Because you can never be chayav and chal unless you meet the first condition. And the first condition is what the Mishnah spells out with the very first word, Isa. That's the Shittas HaRamban. Okay? So practically speaking, what does this mean? Let's give us three children. Don't they know we choose trouble with that? A simple choice. So this means the normal process of bread. So sometimes it can be liver, others it can be lafid. Okay? Isa does not necessarily mean that it has to be liver up. The point of it down, even loss of soaking isa means the liver actually. Okay? So basically, that's the luxury.
Right?
Because you're having the wine to cook it and then the end you didn't cook it. Okay? So the he's gonna also fall the right? Okay? That's Chilasa Sufkinin. Right. The Rash doesn't call that Chilasa Sufkinin, Sofa Sufkinin. Right?
It's
Pazar. It's Pazar. It's
Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar.
It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. It's Pazar. So again, according to Rabban, the reason why it's popular is because the Chilasa Sufkinin, the Sofa Sufkinin. Now, the Rash wouldn't call that, right? The Rash would never use that term to describe Lakshin. Why? Because according to the Rash, Lakshin is the Chilasa Issa the Sofa Sufkinin. The only thing is that the Kavan and the Chilu was a Lakshin, right? So the Rash would not apply the Lakshin to Mishnah to the Lakshin. According to the Rash, the Sufkinin means the Rash, right? Okay, good. Pretty good chart? Okay. Watch it, especially if you can. Okay. Good. How do we pass him along? Where's the Chab saying what's on? Comes to Shulchan Aruch, pass him like a rash. Okay? We're Chab and pass him like a rash. Comes to Shulchan Aruch, pass him like a rash. Comes her mother and say a word. Comes a shach and says a word. Comes a shach and says, not so convinced we should pass like the Rash, maybe we should be chashish for a bit of time. So the Machaber doesn't go there, but not even the letters of Safek. But the Shach quotes in the Netam, he says that maybe we should be mapping for the Netam is Safek. Therefore, the Shach says, unlock him. We should be mapping for the Netam is Safek. So the Shach, we're not sure the Netam is right, it's probably not right, but we should probably disagree with him. He's Safek, he should be mapping for the Netam. So the Shulchan writes that he thinks that the Minig is against the Shach, partially because it's Chalas Chutzlar, it's Bizman Azeh. It means the whole challah that we're dealing with outside of Eretz Yisrael is a little derabbanan. That's a very, very low level derabbanan. The second main balance of the Chiluk Kovah is a little bit. It's only 3 years ago, it's not that. So comes the Rosh Hashanah, it could be the Chal Chutzah from the Rabban, it's not so Chal. Anyway, so it could be a committing Islam Lahokal. To the best of my knowledge, again, you have to check with the companies because most people don't make their own Lakshah. Maybe if you did, if I wouldn't make enough, you can't have a Chal anyway. But you have to check on the cashless agents. I wouldn't be surprised if the Olam is making Lagamri on the auction. Straight Pesach HaShulchan Aruch and Ramah. And then say, what are the Shulchan Aruch? You know, the Shach holds the Yesh Ma'ach and the Misafek. But it could be that it's ready to put slow, so it's not so hard. You're not going to be so much. So the Ikim is going to be passing the Rav. Maybe definitely the Ramah. So obviously one follows what I just said up to now. So it goes without saying that Baylor, Ben, Tamir, Rosh, and Rav Shalom. On the sponge cake, right?
From the batter?
Can you be mapped from the batter?
No. Oh, yeah, right. I have to wait until it's in
there. What it takes, remember, said heaven, that's above all days, that's what it is. Right, Tosa says that the afar, after your outfit, you need to type of challah, you cannot be mapped after your feet, right? Because you need your feet.
But now
it's
also the bright side. Are you supposed to map the challah on?
I don't want to miss the bridge for now. Still, yeah. Can you ask another question?
Same, so the Bryce, our Bryce is talking about, are you not
making bread? Yeah, that's what I said. That the guy who's stealing the, he's not supposed to make a loaf of bread, he's making himself up. The quote, was that him? They don't ask, who made the famous quote? Maria Antoinette. Yeah. They don't have bread, BK. It didn't really mean that. Right? What did it really mean?
Disgusting.
Right, because bread, they used to use the word cake. It was mistranslated in French. It really meant, like the Gemara says in Gittin, when the Marissa, the Gemara tells a story, and he said, you're kind of a kamsa, where time of the churban, she was going around looking for flowers, she couldn't find flowers, and she said, okay, eat the barley, you couldn't find barley, eat the bread, eat the barley, yeah. So that was a Maria Antoinette at all. She told the people, you can't get real good, nice white bread, so eat the homey bread, eat the garlic bread.
Do you possibly that it's Mitzvah to the south? Does it have to be from the same pattern? Can it even be from different, like let's say you have different
really lost? Many different cakes.
Yeah, many different cakes.
Good, get it back to the story. So Alex is very, very perturbed with this. Well, you have to not challah from sponge cake and honey cakes at the shulchan. Says, yeah, of course you have to. So there are some poskim who held that the ikur adin, strange that they sound, is like the Ramban. Against the Rebbe, not against the Rosh, against the Mechab, against the Ramah, against the Shach, against the Taz. But the ikur adin is like the Ramban. You say Reb Chaim held that way. Reb Chaim quotes the Ramban was emes lamita, right? That calls man that it's not a blila ava, that's not a problem. So the ma'is the yesh v'yesh, there are different hamim of different bakeries in the man is there. Some bakeries who follow the straight psalm of Shulchan Aruch who insist that being mafish challah from there, all the sponge cakes and honey cakes, all the batter cakes. Some all that way. There are others who will make it like this from Ramban. They only mafish from the hard doughs. I mean, the mafish from cookie dough. Cookie dough is blila ava. The cookie is in rundle of Danish, things like that, they are mafish. For a sponge cake, another cake, they're not a mafish. Then there's a third practice among some bakeries, which is, I think, losing its appeal these days. That was the unique sheet of Yerach HaShulch. The difference between Yerach HaShulch and Yerach HaShulch arise. And then this is Chiddush. It could be that the Chiyuv of Cha'alah is only on bread or matzah or things which are made for the purposes of the Ikar meal. Anything which is snack food, by definition, is part of Cha'alah. It's a very, very big Chiddush. The Rishon, there's one Rishon that they say, the Yerach HaShulch claims that that's the Minhag, that's what we passed it. There were some bakeries which were not mafish b'chal anything except for breads. So that's already a highly questionable, kula. Whereas the other two shittas are two valid shittas. Those who are the straight, the pasuk pshat is straight shulchan aruch like the Ramah, like the Shach. The pasuk pshat is like the Rashi and the Tami. I think mafish was fun cases and things also. And those who rely on the Ramah, some can also rely on the Ramah. What's the policy in Russia called? Is this? Anybody know?
And they mafish from everything.
Are they? So in the camp's policy was always a split for years and whatever the other thing. They only mafresh on the hard doughs. Well, it's nice to bake, but they only mafresh on the hard dough. I think that was a psak of vads held that way. So that was a psak in camp also, the bottom of the kovel paskin. Because they only have to mafresh on the hard doughs, not on the batters. But they learned the kovel for many years, and many used to be that when the cakes used to arrive at the camp on Friday afternoon, so some people would always go jump the gun and be mafish on the cakes also.
They burned it in the oven?
I don't know if that still is done now, but when I was in my days, so that was the minute.
How much is
Mikra din, it's a culture. The days of the Mikra, everything was Torah, when you're giving the chal to the Kohen, and the Mishnah says you have to give 124. You should have something. If you're a baker, so then you have a lot of stuff, then you can give you 148, that'll be significant. If you're a regular Baal boss and you're going to give such a small amount, what's he going to do? He's going to give a half a crumb. So you have to give 124. That's Bisman when everything was, under the power. Bisman Azander, Abba writes that we're not going to eat the chal anyway, so we have to be mafresh so much that we want to be water garbage and burn it, stop the waste. So I'm also really, we can go back to Dimmin after just be mafresh a kosher. But Abba writes the minute is to be mafresh his eyes, something. So that's what the minigas. That minigas is only when you really include the mafish. Snakes, things like that, some stuff you can rely on to see with a little bit. So there are different help, different people have different help about this. So what I try to do is whenever I eat any cakes, either the blue ovens or blue rockets, it's hard to know, you don't know which bakery is holding what. So I usually try to pick off a crumb or something and throw it on the side. What? No, but you could either wrap it up, ruin it after something. My other rabbi said that to have in mind at the end of the box, because the din is bechal chutzar, you allow each first and be mafresh later. There's a special cool bechal chutzar. So they have in mind, whenever they finish the cake, whatever crumbs left in the bottom of the box, we might raise a chal.
But you could have Bala Bas rely on this. Aruch Shulchan didn't say his din just for a nachta, right? He said that the chiyuv of Afresh is chala.
Yeah, this is a very, very good question, Aruch Shulchan.
Saying like even a Baal HaBas who whatever got a psak from someone who said they could rely on the Aruch HaShulchan would be able to only be mafish from chal. Like if he's baking a lot of cake, if you're baking a lot of cake in your house, you also might not have to be mafish according to the Aruch HaShulchan.
Even if you're baking 5 tons of it, no matter what it is, it's not for the purpose of a main savor meal. It's part of the chal. Shouldn't rely on that. That's the other. Let's say you're making a lot of cookies, so should you not make a bracha in the first challah? That's already a tough shot. The first time I ever heard this out of Shulchan, I was in 10th grade, and my grandmother asked me about, actually, she said I should ask my rebbe in school. So she was always mafresh challah on her rebeloch, but she never knew whether she was supposed to make a bracha. I guess in Europe, she doesn't remember what they used to tell her in Europe. She might remember what is she supposed to make a bracha and not make a bracha. So I didn't know anything in 10th grade. So I remember I asked my rebbe at the time. So he said to me, according to most posts, you mechushli mafresh and rebeloch mafresh rebeloch is blue ava. So you mafresh mechushli even with a bracha. And he said to me, there's an aruch shulchan that says no. So maybe you don't make a bracha. That's what he said. Sounds like a psak again. Says maybe you don't make a bracha. Don't not make a bracha. I didn't know what he was talking about. The love, rap, and any of this stuff. Then years later, I realized this is the Yom HaShulchan that he meant 15 years ago. Anyway,
so
that's it.
So what are we saying?
The psach of my 10th grade rabbi was that you don't make a bracha. The difference is the Yom HaShulchan. That was the secret. Because it's meant to have a chacham. It's Mordechai Markish. Rabbi from Brooklyn? No, I was in Brooklyn. He's a rabbi in the Lakewood Union in Brooklyn. In fact, I'm married to him. Good. Okay. So we only have finished one half of this figure. We finished the first half part. Now we have to move on. Comes Rebbe to town and raises a hakira. Usually, the first two is an acharon. Comes Rebbe to town himself and raises a hakira. It's a very strange hakira because it's a hakira what he himself said. Rebbe to town wasn't sure what he himself said. The only thing Rebbe to town said that we know for a fact was that the Kiddush of Rebbe to town is a lachshon, right? Lila Ola, Shemesh Bashla, is Chayav Chal. Comes Rebbe to town and says, Yesh Lachor, why is it Chayav Chal? Right, the Mishnah says it, his version of the Mishnah, but it's all Zionistan. What's the law? What's the beer of them? So, if you remember, we started off this year by quoting something, we didn't really do that. I did it specifically this time, because that's where everything stems from. The Torah says two different things concerning Chiyah Chal. It speaks about Lechem Ha'aretz, and it speaks about Reishas Arisa Sechem. So, come to me, Adam says the following Hakim, the Eshvach. Why is it that Lila, all Russian is Bashla, according to me, is Chayav and Chala. Is Pshat that in order to be Chayav and Chala, you must have a Din Lechem? Torah says, V'hoya ba'acholcha min Lechem ha'aretz. That's an absolute criteria for the Chayav Chala, must have a Shem Lechem. And therefore, if the Din is, as the Mishnah seems to say, according to the Adam's version, that Lechem is Chayav and Chala, the Mishnah is telling us to be radical, Lechem has a Din Lechem. You started out the shiur by saying lechem is only because of afiyah, and afiyah is betanur. So what's the answer to that? That we were dead wrong. That's not true. But there is no din, there is no chayk b'layav, halacha moshe b'sinai, that in order to have a shem lechem, it has to have afiyah betanur. It can get a shem lechem through blue lava. That's one method of getting a shem lechem. Is tanur at all critical in declaring a shem lechem? Yes, it is. In what case? Case blue lava. There are two traps. We start off by saying there are two traps to be Chayav and Chala. One, there are two traps to get a Shem Lechem. Something can attain a Shem Lechem either through a Fiyah B'Tamar or through the Lila Ava. So the Lila Ava is a Keveya, is a creation of the Shem Lechem. That's what Rebbe Tam meant to say. He's asking himself, that's what I mean. That Lakshin is Chayav as a Shem Lechem because he can't be Chayav and Chala without Shem Lechem. Or maybe Rebbe Tam says, maybe I mean something totally different. Maybe his din is totally different. Maybe lachshin is lachem. What are you kidding? Lachem is the chashiyah matana. But off lachem matana rechem, the pasuk says lachshin. You can't have lachem without a fiyah matana, or the halacha equivalent of fiyah matana. So how come lachshin is chayav and chala? It is an unbelievable thing. In order to be chayav and chala, it doesn't have to be lachem. What's the chayav and chala?
Isa.
The Isa is an independent Chayav and Chala, not because of Lechem. So I ask you, if Isa is an independent Chayav and Chala, not because of Lechem, why in the world does the Torah say, B'hayah b'chochem b'lechem ha'aretz? What does the Torah mean? That there are two independent Chayav and Chala. Something can become Chayav and Chala either through being an Isa, which is a blue Abba. Once the blue Abba is an Isa, it's all over Chayav and Chala. And sometimes somebody can be Chayav and Chala, even if it's not an Isa, as long as it's Lechem. What is that? What's an example of something which is Lechem and not Lechem? What's something which is Lechem and not an Isa?
Cake.
Blue Rapa Shere. Blue Rapa Cake. Honey cake. So it comes from the Tam and says, you look at this chart here, because there are two different things that are Chayav and Chala with the Tam. There's Lakshin and there's honey cake. So the Kira is like this. The fact that honey cake is Chayav and Chala, why is that? That's a shame. It's not an Isa. It's not a partial, like we said, a Pashab. It's not an Isa, it's a Blue Rat. Because honey cake is a shame. The reason why Lakshin is Chayav and Chala is either because it also has a shame, or the reason why it's Chayav and Chala is not because of shame, because of Isa. That's the subject of Rebbe Tam. That's the Lomdish Shadow of Rebbe Tam, Chakiri now. It's a Chakiri in the Tukim. It's a Chakiri in how to understand why the Torah uses two phrases. One uses the phrase Lechem, and uses the phrase Isa. This chapter there is two independent B'chayim and B'chala. Most of the time, no, it's Kanika Lechem. Chayka Lechem, it's got to be Lechem, and Tanzas and Bats, it's got to be Lechem. And Lila Ova is a way of becoming a Shem Lechem. That's what the Tamshin is. That's exactly what it is. That's the longest of it. The question is, who cares? Who cares? Do you think it's enough? Who cares? Do you think it's enough? Who cares? Do you think it's enough? Who cares? There are other areas of halacha where it's critical to know whether something is lach or not. There's brachas. Comes with Tam and says, what's the deal? What bracha do you make on lakshin? For fear behold, that lakshin is not a bit lachem, but lachem is an anus of tanwar. So then it's mezayas, no shayla dar. But, says Rebbe Tam, if the lakshin is chayav and chalak, because it has a shem lachem, so then in theory you should be chayav to bench. You have to bench on lachem, that's the deal, right? The Torah says, Eretz Shalom is kiriz koch abal lachem, and that's what it says, the chalak is under rachem. So I'll figure out. Benching is on lachem. I mean, the real benching is in all the shivas avidim, because the pasuk also speaks about shivas avidim in the previous pasuk. But chacham say no, that the din chacham is about the brachah is only going back to the last pasuk. Eretz Shalom is kibbutz lachem b'al lachem. That's not a shame lachem, a din lachem. So there's a din lachem in that Torah, the guy with the mosque. There's a din lachem in the rabban, the guy with the brachah and mosque. There's a din lachem in the rabban, the guy with the tosi daim. It only happens in tosi daim when there's a brachah and mosque lachem. Says Rebbe Tam, is lachem lachem or not? So it depends on how to understand Pshat and Maidin. If it's chayav kalal lachem, then this isn't lachem. You have to wash the bench on lachem. And if it's not a lachem, it's just an ish, then you wouldn't have to wash the bench. So at the end of the day, Rebbe Tam says it's a very valid chakira. He says, you know what, lachem is not a good enough kamina the chakira. Why? Something totally different. What it says in the set of brothers. That in order to get a shem lechem benching, it's not enough just to up here lachem to call lachem. That was called suras alachem. It's the word called Teresa Dinama. That's the look. It's a resemble in the bread family a little bit. Very difficult to understand what exactly that means. So comes the Rambam and says lachem is a bad example. You know what? Lachem doesn't have suras alachem. Doesn't have suras pas. So therefore, lachem, even if in theory it's called lachem, it's still not called lachem. We got to have this rough. So Adam falls a fast one. So he says the lachem is not a good nafkamina. Okay, so we need another nafkamina. What is a nafkamina? So now you have to find a blila ava, which is in the spashla, which looks a little bit closer to bread, which is in the bread family a little bit, which is not lacking in terms of pas, and you have to now determine is there have a shem lachem or not. So what this is that you can kreplach. Comes to Ben Adam, it gives the old French word, the Yiddish word, the German word, the Polish word, kreplach. Okay? What's the din? Right? What a kreplach and what a kreplach?
It's still stuffed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to look that much like bread. It's a little stuffed thing with some meat inside, right? Yeah. So it's like a little bread sandwich. It's like a little hamburger. A little stretch of imagination. So let's assume for now that Krebs has a Tirsa Pas. So it's another classic example of Belila Ova, Shenis Tashla, and it was made the Pachiva to be in Tashla. So according to the Rashi, it's not Chayim Chav, it's not Chayim Chav, it's not Chayim Chav, it's ridiculous. When you're Ben Adam, I'm not sure what the din is. Would you make Amotzi or Krebs or not? That's the suffix of Ben Adam. It's Belila Ova, Shenis Tashla, but again, assuming that it has quasi Tirsa Pas. What's the answer? Comes with a town and changed his mind. Comes with a town and writes that he used to think it's crazy, whatever thing you make, my mozi, I'm a cup of sugar, not a day in the black, I was just a bit of a town, not a brothers. There have been a town says he backed. What forced him to back out? Because the Rebbe said a brother. Who told you my brothers on the side? So they won?
Yeah.
The Gemara says, raise the following shalom. What bracha do you make? Cash this one. The Kohen eats the Kohen Mincha, the Beis HaMikdash. What bracha does he make? I don't mean to make Shechnyan or the other things. What bracha does he make? He eats the Kohen Mincha. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, the fair, the Gemara calls the Baisa, that when he eats the Kohen Mincha, he makes a mozi lechem in the arts. You don't want to tell what a mincha is? Take flour, and water, and oil, water and oil, and you make a blila. And then, what do you do with it?
Shabbos.
She Mincha,
Machal,
Machava,
what's
a Machava? And a frying pan. What's on the frying pan?
Oil.
Remember the Yishama we had from 3 months ago? That even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if there's oil, that's like Bishul. Right? So a carbon mincha, believe it or not, is a classic example of a belila ova that was made with chila aldas lavashel, and it was this bashel, tigno this bashel, same thing for our purposes. Shalom. So who would have ever guessed in a million years that the answer to the question, what bracha you make in the krepuch, is the same answer to what bracha you made in the carbon mincha in the base of Mikdash when you ate it. Pretty impressive. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Because it's the brisa is the favorite thing you make hamotzi on. The brisa is the favorite you make hamotzi on carbon mincha, on the mincha, you make hamotzi on the krepuch. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So first you put nacha away, then you back out to you. Is this a convincing rabbi? What's the major, major flaw of this rabbi? There's got to be a flaw of this rabbi.
No.
As Yerushalmi says, that if you fry it, we all know that's for these purposes,
yeah.
That's a good bit.
They put oil inside the.
Yeah. 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 There's oil in the machabas. So according to. Yeah, you shouldn't make a motzi on it. If Rabbeinu Tam says it's just chayv and chalav and isa, but it's not lechem, what do you make a motzi on it? So is this cannot be the world's most convincing rabbi. Why?
Because they're under sheet.
Who's going to for sure disagree with this? What? Who? The Rosh has got to disagree with this. Why? The Rosh holds it's not even chayv and chalav. So chalav chafila basically makes you sure that chayv and chalav. It's not a resale safer. Technish, but I'm saying if you would make that type of thing in your own kitchen, it's not even chayv and chalav. So don't get a Rosh, what are you even dreaming that it's going to make a motzi on it? Now obviously there's got to be another way of explaining why they were making a motzi in the Beis Hamikdash. So then the Talmud said, oh, they made a motzi in the Beis Hamikdash, it's a raya that I'm right, the Rosh is wrong, and it's also a raya that not only is that right, but the longest is what I'm saying is that it's based on a bit of time. So comes the Rosh, and the other Rishonim says, well, how do you do it? The Gemara quotes of Rosh that says you used to make a motzi on eating the mincha of the Beis Hamikdash. Which mincha? What is it? The Rebbe says, "Well, not even talking about this topic. It's talking about something else." It says in passing again, when you eat the carbon mincha, you make a motzi. How many different kinds of carbon mincha are there? The minchas machavas, minchas marcheshes, and minchas maafeh tamur. What's the machavas is on a fire pan, and marcheshes is like a deep bowl, and a maafeh tamur is a regular oven. So, what is a minchas maafeh tamur? You're taking a gluva oven and putting it into the oven. So what bracha do you make of that? We call that bread in the oven. Okay? So everybody agrees that's lech. Rabbeinu Tam thought that the braisa is talking about all menachas, even the ma'al mincha machavas. So we had a gevaldik raya, and he's riding up his chal, and he's riding up his brachas. So the rasha says, huh? What are you talking about? So the braisa doesn't spell what kind of mincha is talking about. Can't say the braisa is only talking about mincha machatana. It's not a raya that comes to me, Rabbeinu Yoyah. Rav from the sixth paragraph writes that Rabbeinu Tam may be right in his machlokes that he has with the Rash in terms of Ruchas Chala, but he's wrong in terms of Ruchas Brachos. For Rabbeinu Tam, he used to think he's correct. Namely, that it's Chayim and Chala because it has a Shem Isa, but it's Potter, but Rabbeinu Tam may come on Tzion because it doesn't have a Shem Lacha. So there are three different ways of looking at these Brachos. Even if you say, like the Rash, the Kavach of Potter, 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 versus Chala, Gamma, it's not even the walk up discussing whether you make a wash a bench on it. Or you could take Rabbeinu Tam's original position, which Rabbeinu Yonah says is the correct position, but it's Chaim and Chalam because it's a Shem Isa, but it's not going to lack of it if you don't make a motzi on it. Or you could take Rabbeinu Tam's concluding position, and not only is it Chaim and Chalam, but it's even make a motzi on it because it has a full fledged Shem Lachem, a whole Dina Matera. Those are three different permutations, three different possibilities, and Mavir from the Sugya, and those are those brachas. Okay.
Maybe the three different kinds of mitzvah? Three different things you can do.
Machmas, Macheshes, and Machetam. Okay, there are other kinds of mitzvahs also, but those are the kinds that were prepared in that similar type of way. Flour, oil, water, whatever it is, and you stick it into some clay.
How does Rabbi Yonah explain Rabbeinu Tam?
Rabbeinu Yonah says what Rabbeinu Tam thought originally was right, and that's Chayim and Chalav is the Shem Yitzvah, but it's Tadak Mo Lachem.
Why?
What?
Why
is that called Lachem? Lachem means Tam. Where is it? You can't have lechem. Shem lechem cannot be acquired without tamar. Absolutely impossible.
So you're saying the other side.
Yeah, exactly. The other side. Rabbi Tam raised the Hakira, Rabbi Tam was pushed the Hakira, and he understands we pushed it. He says that the Gemara is talking about the Yichud Matat Tam. It's not talking about both of them. Same with the Rashi. So, we stop here. We'll double it. We'll do 5 minutes of double. But hopefully, on Monday, we continue. So, we have to figure out where does this put us in terms of Yichud Brachas? And this is how I'll be trying a little bit, maybe, where does this put us in terms of Yichud Brachas? And then some of the other applications of this Machoish is still over to some other areas of Halacha also. So, hopefully, you'll talk about more than I